Stephen was so full of Jesus that when you're filled with Jesus, here's what naturally happens. Then you're filled with faith and the Holy Spirit and of grace and of power and of wisdom. Again, church, you have to see this. If you're here today for the first time, you have to hear this, okay? When you are filled with Christ, the correlation that necessitates from this is you are filled then with Christ and the virtue that comes from the life of Christ. The more you behold in the glory of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, you start to take on. Again, you become in the image of Jesus Christ. It's exactly what Stephen's doing right up until his death here at the end of chapter 7, which is so remarkable.
Hi, friends, and welcome back to Live in the Light. We're so thankful that you have made Live in the Light a part of your day today. And joining us in our studios today is our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons. And today you have joined us for a powerful story in God's Word. The book of Acts has powerful story after powerful story, but this one today, Robbie, is all about Stephen.
Stephen, man, like the first martyr, Stephen, who just, man, the example. Craig, I got to admit, this is one of my favorite kind of bedtime stories with my kids. Other parents are like, what? Are you crazy? Like, he gets stoned to death. I'm not. Like, it's incredible. Like, as he does, he looks up and his face is like an angel. He sees the vision of Jesus Christ, his ability to love those who are murdering him at that exact moment. Who does that? How could this possibly be? It's just an awesome, awesome story of an individual that has decided to put all his eggs in the basket of Jesus Christ. It's inspiring. It's exciting. It's profound. It's supernatural. It's just Jesus. So hey, get ready today. The incredible testimony, an example of Stephen is our sermon title. I hope you're sitting up a little straighter. Hope you're eager and anticipating a word for you today. And we pray that as well. Live in the Light listeners, you are loved. And we pray you are so blessed. Acts 6 and 7 today, Craig. Let's go.
All right, let's dive into God's Word together now. And here again is Pastor Robbie with today's message.
We're going to Acts again. If you're visiting with us, we've been in Acts since September. And I will admit, looking ahead to the calendar in September, wondering how this weekend would work as we're staying on our plan. But I'm excited how it's worked out, looking at the life of Stephen. And we're going to see this. We're going to see one of the greatest examples of Christ-likeness in the Bible. And so we're going to look at this, the incredible testimony and example of Stephen. That's our sermon title. The incredible example, testimony of Stephen, who is all about, Stephen's whole life is living in the power and in the love of Jesus Christ. So it's a good Christmas weekend text. It's really an amazing passage as well. We'll go through it. We can't go through every verse, but we'll get through a lot of it. Speaking of Christmas too, 1 John 3:8 explains the reason of Christmas. Did you know that? 1 John 3:8 explains the reason of Christmas. It says this, the reason the Son of God appeared, right? So the reason that Christmas happened, the reason the Son of God appeared, listen, was to destroy the works of the devil. Interesting. So the reason Christmas happened was to destroy the works of the devil. What are the greatest works of the devil? Well, starting in Genesis 3 with the sin of Adam and Eve, he tempts us to sin. And the problem with sin, the devastation of sin, is that sin results in death. So the greatest works of Satan is to see us sin and therefore to see us face death and to have eternal separation apart from God, okay? But again, this is the wonder and the beauty of Christmas. This is why Christmas happened. Jesus Christ was sent as a baby to live and to die for our sins, paying for our sins, to be raised from the dead. When he's raised from the dead, he defeats death. And again, when you place your faith and trust in the grace of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, then your sin has been paid for and death has been defeated. This is the wonder. This is the miracle of believing and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. So what happens is too, when this is real in your life, okay? So there's a lot of people that intellectually would say, oh yeah, I understand that. but it's never actually taken place in their hearts. There's some people here right now, intellectually, you're not into this at all. I mean, just truth be told, you're like, man, I'm nowhere near that, right? You're going to hear, though, again, the powerful testimony and the opportunity to put sin and pride aside, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he enters into your life, a miracle happens, a miracle of life transformation, a miracle of unparalleled purpose and joy. That's what happens with every person who genuinely embraces by faith the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of my first 22 years. I think of my first Christmas knowing Christ. I think of my salvation. Man, how do you articulate the difference of death to life? Only Jesus Christ can do this. We're going to see one of the most powerful examples ever in Scripture in the life of a man named Stephen. Stephen becomes one of the greatest inspirations of just how much Jesus Christ can change a life. And we have to think, his life in Christ must have been short. He must have been a young man. We don't know when he was saved exactly, but it couldn't have been that long. And to have this short span of life in Christ, but then to have this long-lasting generation-to-generation ripple effect impact through his life, which continue on in some ways throughout all of eternity. So we're going to examine our lives as we look at Stephen's life, a life that was overwhelmed with love for the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm excited to do that in Stephen's life. Here's the challenge, though. Last week, we had 7 verses in Acts. This week, we have 68. Help us, Lord. All right? So now again, we're not going to get through every verse. That's impossible. We're going to have an overview, basically, of some principles of Stephen's life in chapters 6 and 7 of the book of Acts. Okay? So just as we jump into our text, good things to know. Acts 7 contains the longest recorded speech in Acts. Stephen is about to be the first Christian martyr, and the length of this section indicates the importance of Stephen's life and what the Holy Spirit, again, wants us to pick up from his life as well. So we're very wise to take notice and very wise to learn. Holy Spirit, would you take this time and use it way beyond, man, I can't do anything. And so Holy Spirit, I pray you will just move all these people here right now. If you're an overflow, God, use it. Use it in a powerful way. So needy today, Lord. And just ask that you will do that. So we're going to have a powerful examination, investigation, and application of Stephen's life with our own. We're going to do that today. Our outline is in the form of 5 questions, okay? 5 questions that we see in Stephen's life and then relate to our own. Let's get started. Question number 1 is this. When I look at Stephen's life, I need to ask myself this. Am I growing in Christ-like character? Am I growing in Christ-like character? Now, evidently, Stephen was a very special man. And the Bible tells us this. There's an unusual amount of real estate detailing his character and his powerful godliness. Luke is going out of his way, the Holy Spirit, who wrote the Bible, is going out of his way to tell us, again, how godly Stephen was. So we can list several of these right away. In chapter 6, I will also put these on the screen for you just so you can see visually what we're talking about. So in chapter 6, verse 5, we are told that Stephen was a man full of faith. In the same verse, we are told he is also full of the Holy Spirit. That's a good combination. In verse 8 of chapter 6, we are told he is full of grace. I mean, there's a lot of things happening in this young man's life. Also in verse 8 of chapter 6, he was full of power and he was doing great wonders. In chapter 6, verse 10, we are told he had a wisdom that his opponents could not withstand, which led to a Spirit-given utterance in preaching, which was remarkably powerful. So in just a few verses, how's that for a resume? How's that for a resume? It's remarkable, really, and it's incredible. We start to gain some understanding of how and why he was so powerfully used. Now, the phrase that sticks out to me in these verses is the phrase full of. And Stephen was filled with. Stephen was full of. Notice that. Stephen, listen carefully. Stephen was so full of Jesus that when you're filled with Jesus, here's what naturally happens. Then you're filled with faith and the Holy Spirit and of grace and of power and of wisdom. Again, church, you have to see this. If you're here today for the first time, you have to hear this, okay? When you are filled with Christ, the correlation that necessitates from this is you are filled then with Christ and the virtue that comes from the life of Christ. the more you behold in the glory of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, you start to take on. Again, you become in the image of Jesus Christ. It's exactly what Stephen's doing right up until his death here at the end of chapter 7, which is so remarkable. He is so filled with Jesus that Jesus starts to again fill him and overflow from his life in faith, again, grace, power, wisdom, and of course, the Holy Spirit. So here's a question. Steve was full of the Holy Spirit. Here's a question for you right now. What are you full of? What are you filled with? In all honesty, what fills your life? There's so many people today, right now, your life is entirely filled with entertainment or an obsession with that, or it's entirely filled with the mundane, or entirely filled with temporal pursuits, or entirely filled with worldly idolatry. I mean, that's just a reality right now. So many of us here right now, our whole life is filled in the end with nothing. And so our life becomes nothing. And you try to fill your, what happens is you never get full, or it's emptiness inside, so you keep trying to do that. Our lives become what we fill it with. A.W. Tozer, he said this is very important. Whatever a man wants badly and consistently enough will determine the man's character. Stop, pause, apply right there. Just look at that. Think about it. It's like the pause sometimes. I just want you to be able to soak it up, man. This is very, very important. Whatever we want badly and consistently enough will ultimately determine who we are, the direction we go, the life we live, the character within. And what our character is, it's who we are. I mean, how many people is that for right now? The Holy Spirit just went like a laser beam right there. And you say, you see why life is going in the direction that it is? Because you want so badly this, and then that becomes who you are. What are we living for? What are we filling our lives with? You know what's interesting? When it says that Stephen was full of faith and the Holy Spirit and of wisdom and of grace, every single element of this is directly related and connected to Jesus Christ. When you feel alive with Jesus Christ, again, that's what flows out of you. I read this week, John 7, verse 38. Jesus says, whoever believes in me, and who's this for right now? Whoever believes in me, from his heart will flow, not trickle, will flow rivers, not a little tiny stream, will flow rivers of living water. How's that for a promise? Whoever intakes the Lord Jesus Christ, the outtake will be rivers of living water. Our world has no purpose. Our world is so sad. Our world is so confused. Our world is so wandering around in deserts. And Jesus shows up and says, whoever believes in me, out of his heart, his character, his life, will flow rivers of living water. Question, am I growing in Christ-like character? This is the supernatural power that is connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. So one of our staff members, I was just thinking about this, thinking about godliness, character, filled with Jesus. Well, how do I pursue Jesus? There's different ways to do that. One of the most important ways we fill our lives with Jesus is, of course, his word, which is where this whole message comes from. This church is built upon, and we don't have a church apart from God's word. And so a staff member this week sent me this video and I watched it. I'm like, that is immensely encouraging. And I'm like, I thought about it. I'm like, I have to force this into the sermon this weekend. All right. Like it's connected, but it's just so enlightening. So awkwardly right now, we're going to play it, but then it's like, it's connected. And I hope you'll be encouraged. I needed you to see it like now. Okay, so watch this video right now.
There was a recent study by the Center for Bible Engagement where they pulled 40,000 general population in the U.S. from 8 to 80. And they just wanted to see how we are engaging with Scripture.
Right.
And they discovered something that actually became kind of the profound discovery of the entire study. They weren't even looking for this, and this is kind of became the highlight of the study.
Right.
When we're in the Scripture one time a week, and that could be church on Sunday, that's pastor saying you open your Bible, we hear the message, one time a week had negligible effect on some key areas of your life. So I'm gonna spell that out more here in a moment. Two times a week, negligible effect. Now, at three times a week, there was a blip on the map. Like, there was a heartbeat. Something happened. Again, a heartbeat.
Okay.
But here was the profound discovery. When we're in the scripture four times a week, it literally spikes off the chart. You would expect that it'd be one, two, there'd be a gradual incline on the effect and impact that would have in your life, but it was literally one, two, three, four, something radically happens.
Okay, you got my curiosity.
To this extent.
What kind of behavior is being affected?
Feeling lonely drops 30%.
Wow. Four times a week in the
Bible. Four times a week in the Bible.
Okay.
Anger issues drop 32%. Bitterness in relationships, marriage, a relationship with your kids, and so on, drops 40%. Alcoholism drops 57%. Feeling spiritually stagnant. You know, if there was one area when I'm talking with people that they'll be honest about is they just feel spiritually stagnant. Ask them the question, how much time are you spending in scripture? If they're in the scripture four times a week or more, it drops 60%.
Wow.
Viewing pornography drops 61%.
That's very important.
Now, on a flip positive side, sharing your faith jumps 200%.
Wow.
Because you have a confidence in God's word. And then discipling others jumps 230%.
But I hope, like you, if you know me at all, you know how much I care and appreciate that truth right there, how I'm constantly longing for all of us to understand, listen, you want to see Christ work in your life, man. You have to be filled with Christ. How are we filled with Christ? One of the best possible ways is scripture, and of course, inviting the Holy Spirit and all that we seek to do for his character. And Stephen, we're going to see, was such a man like that as well. All that to say this, am I growing in Christ-like character? Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Question number two, we're going to be moving kind of quickly today because we have to have all the stuff we want to get through. Question number two, am I attracted to Christ-like countenance? Am I attracted to Christ-like countenance? That's a great question. The answer reveals our definition of beauty, a huge battle in our day, a huge battle. Is it earthly or heavenly? Is my definition of beauty, is it temporal or eternal? So when I read verse 15, okay, of chapter 6, amazed. I've always been amazed. Look at verse 15. It says, and gazing at him, okay, his opponents who hated him, and gazing at Stephen, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. So we haven't read the verses that preceded verse 15. I'll give the context. Stephen is being viciously attacked, falsely accused, and corrupt witnesses are being placed against him. But in the midst of such hostility and hatred, his face shines like an angel. That is awesome. It reminds me of Psalm 34, verse 8. Those who look to the Lord will be radiant. Stephen is literally radiating Jesus Christ in this moment. And you know, Psalm 34, 8 ends? It ends with this, and their faces shall never be ashamed. Bam. Stephen is like living that verse out. Those who look to the Lord Jesus Christ will be radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. So what a moment this is in God's word. You have this narrative before us. Stephen is literally encountering facial expressions against him, filled with rage, hatred, indignation, and absolute ridicule, and really murder, which is about to happen. But here is Stephen in the face of such opposition, ever Christ-like, his face is radiating the light and the love in return. How wonderful and powerful and beautiful this is. His countenance here in this moment, this life-changing moment, his countenance spoke peace and love and total confidence in his unstoppable Savior, Jesus Christ. I love to read biographies and think of how many times I've read over the years, how many believers have faced death with a radiance on their face. Some have been in the hospital bed, some facing execution, some even while they're being stoned to death in our passage today are displaying the countenance and radiance of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's extraordinarily beautiful. It is absolutely pure. One of the themes when I was reading this through again this week, I read this so many times. One of my favorite stories in scripture, Acts 6, 7, but looking at Stephen's life, there's so much purity. His life's so pure. He's undefiled. He's just so focused. It's just like, talk about being single-minded. He's so filled with love for Christ. Like everything he's doing, it's just speaking the words of the Lord and seeing Christ. And just his whole life seems to be radiating the power and the glory of Christ. It's incredibly challenging. And we ask ourselves, am I attracted to such countenance, such Christ-like, only produced by Christ? Am I attracted to that? Do I long for that? Am I attracted to that in others? Do I pray for that? Do I draw near to those who seem to have a radiance for the glory of Christ? Because listen, the Holy Spirit sure is. Holy Spirit, man, he's so attracted to Christ-like countenance. I love too, man, throughout the years being pastor at this church, how many of you, different times in different ways, I'm able to look at you and to literally see the light of Christ in your eyes. There's no beauty like that beauty. The beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ working on a person's heart, especially in the midst of difficulty and trial, they're shining, the Lord is upon them, and just to see the grace that is there, exceptional, amazing, incredible, supernatural. The world can't touch it. The world doesn't know it. There's no amount of worldly pursuits that could ever compare to the beauty and the radiance that is found in the countenance of those who seek the Lord Jesus Christ and let his light shine upon them. Maybe this Christmas is a time for us to redefine beauty on God's terms. His countenance is so pure. I mean, even the Christmas story in the Christmas carol, Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face. There it is. There has never been a face with more radiance than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But here's the thing, ready? The more we become like Jesus Christ, this just in, the more we become like Jesus Christ. Awesome. And the more we become like Jesus Christ, the more we shine with his radiance for those with eyes of faith to see. Let me just talk to the young women here today. I can talk to everyone, okay? But to the young women who are particularly bombarded with your identity is rooted in your physical appearance and the infinite messages that hit us every single day that your value and worth and your identity is in your appearance. Listen, Jesus Christ produces in you a beauty that no Botox, no plastic surgery, no workout could ever compare to, can't even touch. It's so sad to see the attempts of humanity trying to replace a facial or fake beauty compared to the beauty that is found in the young women. I talked to you today, man. If you believe in the power of the beauty that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, again, you'll be filled with such a sense of glory and love. Again, you did not know could exist, but does. It does one person. In one person, the beauty that is precious in the sight of God, 1 Peter 3, unfading, incredible. That's what the Lord looks to. When he fills a life, their countenances. And I'll give you in Stephen's case, this was awesome and extraordinary. And yet, 2 Corinthians 3:18, and beholding the Lord Jesus Christ, we are being transformed into his image from one degree of glory to another. Just imagine the day he returns. Just imagine the day you see him face to face. You know, what a day. I just said to one of my sons this week, I had a moment just sitting with him and just say, man, son, can you imagine the day that one day you are going to see Jesus Christ face to face? If you believe in him, son, if you are alive in him, if you are genuinely saved in him, you will see him face to face. And what glory that will be. And the countenance, you get to touch him. You get to hug him. You get to embrace your Savior. And this, Stephen, so close in this moment, so close to that happening, seconds, minutes away, and his whole face lights up with the countenance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Awesome, amazing, and beautiful. Question number three. Am I deepening in Christ-centered conviction and courage? Am I deepening in my Christ-centered conviction and courage? Again, this is a remarkable passage. This point three here, it covers the bulk of chapter 7, the longest recorded speech in Acts. We can't deal with every verse. We're not even going to try. There's so many here, but we're going to give an overview. Stephen now says, I want to say something, and he begins to speak to the religious council, and he starts to recall the history of Israel. Okay, and he does that by highlighting Israel's most revered leaders. Now, the reason he does this is not to give them a history lesson, okay? they'd be well-versed in scripture. He's recalling history to refute their indictments against him. He wants to show them the same way that God's prophets were rejected, prophets like Moses and Joseph, they were rejected by God's people, is the same way Jesus Christ has been rejected in the present day where Stephen is, and he's trying to show them that. So Stephen goes over a history with Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, David, and Solomon. And here's what he's saying. He's like this. He's like, hey, I'll paraphrase, okay? He's like, hey, you think this new Christianity thing, Christianity opposes Judaism. It opposes the law and the temple. When in fact, this Christian faith that in Jesus Christ, it actually fulfills the law and fulfills the temple. Jesus Christ is not opposed to where he came from. He's the fulfillment of everything you long for. This is very important too. What Stephen also does, he's agonizing over these hard hearts before him. And he says, listen, the whole point of what God was doing and sent his son was for relationship. You're so built on religion that you're missing the entire point. Stephen's agonizing with him saying, Christmas, Christ came for relationship. God wants to be in relationship with you. And if you think of Christmas itself, the most famous verse probably surrounding Christmas is when the angels appear to the shepherds. And maybe some of you haven't been in church in forever, but you would even know it probably, where the angels say, glory to God in the highest. I mean, Charlie Brown Christmas, everything that happens, all the things you see, Christmas cards, whatever it is. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom God is pleased. Why is that such an incredible announcement? Because for the first time ever, when Christ was born, the angels on behalf of God are saying, listen, hey people, before Christ came, there was no chance at peace with God because you were enemies of God because of your sin. But the Savior has come who has been sent. God himself is now going to live. He's going to live a perfect life so he can die for your sins and mine. That he's going to die, pay for our sins, be raised from the dead. They're like, listen, glory to God in the highest, because now peace is available to everyone with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. With everyone whom God is pleased for the first time ever, all of history culminates in this moment. That's why Christmas is so awesome. This is the power of what we celebrate. Stephen is trying to get the religious leaders to understand this. And really, and by the way, right now, maybe you're here right now. There are many people in this room right now that you are not in relationship with God. And if you're not in relationship with God, then you're opposed to God. See, that's the message of love in Jesus Christ. And today you are here, maybe again, maybe for the first time. You are here that you are invited to be in relationship with God Almighty, that you may have eternal life in him only through his son, Jesus Christ, by believing in him and receiving his grace as a gift for the forgiveness of your sins. That's the power of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Stephen is pleading with his listeners. And he gets to the point, he's so exasperated. Look at verse 51 now, chapter 7, verse 51. And he says this, he is filled with courage and conviction. Verse 51, he says, you stiff-necked people, so stubborn, obstinate.
Live in the Light exists to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Our prayer is as people are impacted by Live in the Light, they will be renewed in mind, reinforced in faith, and resolved in will to live in Jesus Christ. Or you can contact us by mail. Our mailing address in Canada is 500 Great Lakes Boulevard, Oakville, Ontario, L6L6X9. That's all for today. Join us next time at Live in the Light.